Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your light path.
Headshot.
Let's go. More democracy.
Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 451 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Hello, hello.
Yo, this week we've got new patrons and our patrons to read. We've got a little bit of LeagueCast news, some summarizing news. Okay, I like it. We've got Champion Spotlight. We can talk about Samira. This will be just the Samira episode. Possibly a bi-weekly discussion. We've got LCS section. We're going to talk about Worlds week one recap for group stages, and a little bit of news about the LPL. Big news for the LPL. roundtable from this week and last week, and we're going to round it out with some emails. First, Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. Not a lot of League. I played a Decay game today, and I played Quinn. Because I want to play Shen. I keep wanting to play Shen, but my lame-ass opponents keep picking dumb stuff like Darius or Renekton, and then I feel the need to play Quinn. And then I played Quinn to counter the Renekton in my game, and then he lane-swapped to counter my Kassadin, and then I got counterpicked, and they picked Yone, and then I lost lane, and then I just split-pushed as Quinn, and I won the game. So, fuck League of Legends.
Yeah.
I actually like. I feel like I'm just like in a bad League of Legends mood, and the fact that I'm getting annoyed by characters right now.
Yeah,
I'm starting to turn into like the Reddit hive mind of new characters are OP, and Riot just needs to sell OP characters and stuff. And I don't want to turn into that person.
They're all gimmicks, Aiden.
But it does really annoy me when like Yone is a melee character and he has infinite mobility, and his fucking one mobility move has a Zed ult attached to it. Or Samira is an AD carry who has a knockup on her passive.
Samira's kind of nasty, yeah.
So, like, maybe. I'm turning... I don't want to turn into that person, but when I'm frustrated with the game, I become that person right now. So, I'm trying to not become that person. We actually talked about it.
I am that person.
Yeah, it's not a good person to be, but I don't know. I enjoy the gameplay of the game, but I get annoyed by things in the game right now, so... other than that, just lots of Among Us on our Discord. By the way, our Discord's growing like crazy. Maybe because of Among Us Mondays and Among Us Tuesdays and Among Us Wednesdays and Among Us Thursdays and Among Us Fridays and Among Us Saturdays and Among Us Sundays. But we've grown like 60 members in like a week.
Dude.
If you haven't joined our Discord, join our Discord, leaguecastpodcast.com/discord, because we play games in here. We play Among Us like almost every night, and it's super fun. We also play like League of Legends sometimes, and then our community member Mountain Drew does community games on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock.
There, I played one.
Mm-hmm. Pog.
Lost.
So join our Discord. It's actually sick. We're slowly going to overtake another League of Legends podcast and Discord members, and we started way after them. So that'd be Pog.
That'd be pretty poggers. Nice.
Yeah, what about you, Colton?
So my week has not included a lot of solo queue. I've been grinding out TFT. I think I'm up to plat 2 in that. Still getting a feel for this set. I've got a pretty good like grasp on what all of the units are and what they do and like what synergies exist. I'm still pretty far back on like what's good, so I've just been kind of playing off of posted tier lists and kind of working from there. Aside from that, a little bit of CSGO this week, a little bit of Among Us, as you were saying. In terms of real life stuff, I finally got a washer and dryer at my new apartment. Those came in today, so that's pretty poggers. I'm an adult. I can do laundry in my own home.
Exciting.
Yeah, it was some money, but that's that's pretty well my whole entire very busy week. We got our schedule for going back to working in office, so that's gonna be fun. Not staying at home all day.
I don't think it's political, but don't you guys still have a ton of cases still in the U.S.?
Yeah.
And oh, maybe, yeah.
Maybe
oh,
going yeah. back to workplaces isn't the best way to contain mm-hmm. these cases?
Oh, I would agree. I think that it's not like crazy to do it because they're going like we're doing it like half capacity, like every 2 weeks people
okay.
shift in and out, but like
that's good at least.
It's definitely like they're more conservative in their approach at my company than they are in a lot of other places. Like if I drive by like downtown Dallas on a Friday night, you'll see bars like full, people not wearing masks or giving a shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, Nick, what have you been up to?
I've just been playing solo queue. A lot of fun. Any free time that I have goes to solo queue.
Yeah?
Jesus Christ, I hate it so much.
Oh, yeah. It's easy, right? It should be easy to get back to Diamond.
I've not been playing perfectly, I'll be the first to admit. But it's actually insane how terribly unlucky I've been. I don't think so. I said yesterday I don't think I've won a single game to a DC before in this entire season that I can remember. Lost two yesterday from two members of my team disconnecting. Before finally one of the enemy team disconnected before I got demoted to plat to you. So it's all right. I'm just at a crossroads. I don't know what the fuck to play. Anytime I don't play a role, it does poorly. Anytime I go outside of like bot lane, it goes poorly. So
yep, I'll get there. I feel you, bud. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, I'll get there or I won't. Whatever. I'm gonna give it my best bet and still try to get there. But it's gonna be an uphill battle for sure. I've already lost two promos, so that's been pretty sweet. But that's all right. Let's get into the show. I think that's it for me at least. Wait a second. I watched Unbreakable this week. You guys know
like
that
the,
movie with
like the
Bruce,
old
yeah.
movie with
yeah.
yeah
Bruce Willis.
Have you,
and,
so have you seen any of the other ones in the franchise or this was just
spoilers?
No. We actually started Savannah and I started watching it. We decided we were gonna watch the whole like trilogy but in order.
Spoilers.
Release date. Spoilers.
Yes. Spoiler in theory that is a trilogy.
Oh, I mean, I thought it was just well known.
No, it's just one of those things where, like, in theory, if you watched the movies when they came out, you wouldn't have known they were a trilogy.
Okay.
But yeah, everyone knows they're a trilogy. It's more of a trilogy.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have known that Split was in the same universe as Unbreakable until the end of Split.
Yeah.
And then Glass was 100% clearly
yeah,
part three.
Obviously, yeah. Yeah, it's just a joke. Like, I feel like that's one of those things where, like, fuck, if you went into those movies blind, that's probably cool as fuck, but... Mm-hmm.
I thought Unbreakable was kind of dog shit. I did not like it very much. Maybe a hot take compared to
people love
some
Unbreakable.
Compared to some of the reviews I saw, people fucking nutted over it. Maybe it was
I feel
a,
like Split's way more like highly contested between the
I
two.
Think Split's way better, but I thought Unbreakable was good. What didn't you like about it?
For me, it was extremely slow and just kind of like boring, I guess. The main conflict of the movie is you have superpowers. I don't have superpowers. You have superpowers. I don't have superpowers. And it feels like that goes on for an hour and 15 minutes before the final like 20 minutes are just, oh shit, he's got superpowers. Like, hold, what do we do?
Yeah, it's like, it's definitely a like very slow build.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see how that could be pretty boring of like that being the conflict is just like internal and a very slow burn.
Well, I guess I feel like there are ways that I would prefer the movie to handle it. How fucking cool would it be if he, I don't know if I don't remember his name, Bruce Willis's character doesn't believe him, but Glass forces him to like do something by making another train go off the rails or some shit. Like, I don't know, just something a little more than I have finally convinced you. So
yeah,
that was it for me. Hopefully the rest are going to be better. But
I think you'll really like Split. I think it's just a fantastic display of acting.
That's what I've heard is that the movie itself is kind of okay, but the actor hard carries that role with what 24. Personalities.
Yeah, I think like you get a decent amount of time with like 7 to 10 of them.
Okay.
But that being said, still, like, it's very good in that regard. Gotcha. I'd say, yeah, the entire thing, like, it's not bad, but the rest of it is, like, the carry, as you said, is definitely James McAvoy's acting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't, like, grossly, I don't know, missing something in the film.
Not to quickly, like, turn this into a movie podcast, but have you guys seen Tenet yet?
Tenet, no.
No.
Christopher Nolan's new movie. So I love Christopher Nolan, right? I mean, like, fucking awesome. But I've heard, the only rumor I've heard is that it's like every other Christopher Nolan movie where, like, there's really, really important dialogue spoken over really, really loud shit, so you can't hear what's going on. It's a very convoluted plot line, so you can't understand the very intricate plot details because there's just loud shit happening. And that makes me not want to see it.
That's...
Oh, boy. That actually, so I feel... Bad. That sums up, I feel like, Christopher Nolan movies decently. Like, they're good... But holy shit, the idea of, like, a convoluted plot happening and important dialogue being blasted over by loud as fuck shit. Like, turn on subtitles, please.
Yeah, so, it makes me not want to see it in theaters.
What are some other Christopher Nolan movies that I would
Inception?
Recognize? Oh, okay, yep, never mind.
Yeah, so now
you're good. you're good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, The Dark Knight. I think Interstellar is his... okay. Dunkirk.
Jesus yeah, Interstellar, Christ. Dunkirk,
they're all the same
Dark
things.
Knight,
we're like...
Dark-
All those movies, dude, have scenes where, like, there's really, really important dialogue fucking just being crushed by audio mixing.
Yeah. That's
Jumping
crazy.
Back even further, we've got Memento and The Prestige.
I still haven't seen... So, literally, I have a list of movies that I want to watch with Kennedy that I haven't seen, and here's the list, Colton. Memento, The Prestige, Reservoir Dogs, The Hateful Eight, Searching, The Lighthouse.
Oh my god, you haven't seen... Wait, Hateful Eight is so good. It also is kind of a slow burn, but I really enjoyed it.
The Prestige is one of my favorite.
Prestige
movies
is fantastic.
I really, really want to see Prestige.
Movie podcast.
Yeah,
cool.
But I think Hateful Eight is the only Tarantino movie that I haven't seen. So
it's really good. It is quite slow. No, not too many spoilers.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's our weeks. What's the next section in the show, Nick?
Hey, we are going to, it's the start of a new month, so we're going to talk about our patrons. Shout out, first of all, to Aaron, Atsuko, and Shralpy the Gnar, as well as our newest $100 patron, the Last Samurai, who has renamed the Rising News section to be the Samurizing News section. So,
so
thank
sick.
You for that. It's really good. I like that.
Yeah, he subbed last month for like the $100 tier. For those who don't know, we have a $100 tier, which is kind of like the fuck you money tier, where we just let people like name a section of our show whatever they want. So I'm surprised we haven't had like the fucking like big corporate brands like the Chuck E. Cheese guffaws section or something.
God, but, that would be so fun. I would do it.
It'd be so sick. But yeah, he's changed the Rising News to the Samurizing News, which I like a lot. So
yeah, I like that too. Pretty poggers. Cool. But we also want to give a shout out to all of our patrons. So bear with me. Aaron. Oh, they're sneaking up. Adam, a dorky owl, Annie, Antonio, Aodin 47, Ashley, Asmo, Atsuko, Banyumi, Benjamin, Big Peen Sheen, Blooper, Boats and Bros, Bright Equinox, Brother Des, Caleb, Chaz, Chris, Coca-Cola, Corey, Courtney, Cowboy, Daniel, Danny Stormit, Dante, Dapper Dodge, David, Dessa, Devin, Dominic, Dr. Dre, Dr. Professor Goobert, Dragon Jesus, Dream Villain J, Dylan, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, Fiery, Foxloaf, Franco, Frozen Ninja, Gamer Wolf, Gray White, H-Fire, Howling Wind, IM3D Ski, Isaac, Jake, Jamal, Jeff, JFK was Quickscope, Jig Mink, John, oh Jesus, Josh but not a Josh, Josh, Joshua, Justin, Carson, Chaos Reaper, Keegan, Kennedy, King Medusa, Kiptario, Kirk, Climber, Klon, Amy, Lacona, Liam, Lil Barnabas, Lilorian, Lofi, Logan, Luis, Marshall, Matt, Matthew, Michael, Misa, Mitchell, M. Kefius, Molly, Mr. Ginger, Mr. Turch, Mountain Drew, Nathan, Neko J, Nicholas, Niku, because it's meat in Japanese, Noah, Orden, Pards, Patrick, Puff, Purple Play Panda, Randy, Raphael, Rattlesnake Jake, Rebecca Brown. I shouldn't have read your last name. I apologize. Red Lefty, RJ, Ryan Sawyer, Scarecrow Jones, Scott, Selfius, Shroupy the Gnar, Sodafish, Spartle, Speedy Spikes, Stretch, Stew, T-Hubs, Tanner, The Last Samurai, Tune, Ty, Victor, Wyatt, Zach, and Zachary. Oh.
You did it, Nick.
Oh. You did it.
And at least it was a very common last name. I think we're yeah. here.
Yeah, that's true. Dang, boys. So I had to actually zoom out to like 70% to get them all on one screen.
Hell yeah.
Pretty insane. Thank you to all of you guys for supporting us. We appreciate that a bunch. Let's jump
we're
gonna
spend
into
all the money on plastic surgery for Aiden.
Yeah.
We're going to finally make his mouth normal size. Dude,
that's fucked up. That's fucked up. I think your mouth is a fine size.
Maybe we can make Colton's heart bigger.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
So it explodes.
Yes, please. Kill me.
Serious heart problems. Cool. Do we have any LeagueCast news?
Just that the plays video went out. Nick, did you watch the plays video?
I sure did.
Nick, did you see what song was at the beginning?
So I put it in the I think general chat. I'm not sure if you saw it. I loved the music that you picked. It was so good.
Cool. Did you see what I put as like the first song? I'm not sure if you saw it.
I'm pretty sure I watched the video. I can't recall.
So I found I like using Future Funk, right? I think it's like Pog for like plays music. Mm-hmm. So I found a September by Earth, Wind, and Fire Future Funk remix.
Yes. Okay, I do remember that. Yeah.
It's fucking Pog, dude. So
yeah. It was very good, and it wasn't like it was just a lot of September over and over and over and over and over again. It was so fucking funny. Had some pretty poggers plays in there.
It was good. So, my favorite thing is that we finally are getting comments on our YouTube channel for people. And ooh. The one this hold on, let me pull it up. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So LeagueCast monthly plays September. I don't actually have it in my subscription box. The screenshot was Darius, right? There's two Darius plays.
You forgot to ring the bell, dude.
Yeah. And the comment is from I'm just gonna say your first name, Caitlin. He says was gonna comment how funny it was to ironically make Darius the thumbnail, since it's impossible to do any skillful play with that brain dead champion. But then you unironically included a keyboard masher as the first play, and then it edited a couple minutes later, really included two plays by that loser. Dude, I've never seen someone more mad at
me. Oh my god, he's so
that's
angry.
So good.
Oh man.
I just like the edit because like he obviously paused the video and went, fucking Darius plays, Christ. And then watched the video and went, what the fuck? There's two of them.
That's so funny, actually.
It was two good pentas, though. They were sick pentas.
Yeah. Poggers. Nice. So in the Sam Arising news, hey, Worlds passes out. It's got super good value. You just have to play a lot.
Worlds Pass is always sick each year because it's twice the length of regular passes. So meaning like if you were to normally grind out for the 2,000 like points or whatever, you'd get 4,000 if you grind out the entire time like this time. Mm-hmm. So super, super great value if you were someone who wants to grind. If you don't have all the characters, turn those things into champion shards and then you can get a bunch of characters and it's super sick.
I gotta wait to see. Have they released everything that's coming out for the Worlds tokens?
I feel like
I don't want to spend yet.
Yeah, there's gonna be like another set of stuff because we know there's gonna be one more prestige skin during it, and then there's gonna be a bunch of more chromas that are gonna come out in the second half of the pass.
I really hope I like the Soraka prestige. Otherwise, I've just got these prestige points that I don't know what I'm gonna do with.
I'm five away, but I'm gonna end up getting the Senna one. I think looks so sick.
They also open up like a prestige store at the end of the year, which we're not really sure what they're going to include in it, but it sounds like they might include like a bunch of other stuff in it this year.
Pog.
So maybe we can use them there.
True. Awesome. So we don't have any stars. Hey, rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you listen to us on, and we'll read it out here because it helps us a lot. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do we want to talk about Samira? Do we feel comfortable discussing her
probably.
Yet?
OP.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I've played 2 games as her, and she's not incredibly complex, so I don't think it'll be too difficult to talk about her. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of games against her. I think I've lost every one.
Yeah, I don't think I've beaten her yet.
She's a difficult character to play against.
So I played against a bunch of Samiras when I was playing some duo games with Quinn, and we won because of like significant skill gap, but the one Samira game I played against in like an equal skill matchup, it was Ash Alistar against Samira, and like I would get a WQ combo into Ash ult, into my E stun, and Samira would still win those trades. Like, fuck that character.
So the thing that annoys me about her, this is like more like post-6 type thing, is she feels like an AD carry where you can't start the fight by CCing her. I find this in the fact that she like gets style so quick that if you start by CCing her, if there's ever a time where you don't have like CC anymore, she's her going ulti, to immediately hit S rank, fucking heal her entire health bar, and then kill everyone.
Yeah. I would tend to agree. Yeah. You ready to talk about her abilities?
Yeah.
Her passive is Daredevil Impulse. She builds a combo by hitting attacks or abilities unique from the previous hit. So you can't auto-attack twice and gain 2 stacks of your combo. Samira's attacks in melee range deal additional magic damage. Samira's attacks against enemies affected by immobilizing knockups... immobilizing effects knock them up. So which one of those gets gutted first? And is it the attacks in melee range?
I think it's the fact that like the fact that she can stun people, like add to stun duration or knockup duration is like really, really rough. It will be nerfed in theory in the fact that in the new season, knockups will be affected by a tenacity. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a slight nerf to her, but I don't think it's going to make that ability not OP on an AD carry. It's crazy that just auto attacking people like just extends CC as an AD carry where you auto attack people.
What if there was an AD carry that was like auto attack based that didn't even need his allies to like give any kind of proc and could just auto attack you and hard CC you with a basic auto attack? They wouldn't do that, right?
What if there was another character who like had a very similar thing with immobilizing effects, but his passive was on a very long cooldown?
So,
rather than
so here's my problem is I think you can make a support with like a low CC or no CC support that had this ability on their passive, like to like you just like extend CCs and stuff, but you're like a CC-less support, so like you need to build CC on your team to make your support like be a CC character, right? But for an AD carry where you're already attacking, you just happen sometimes to like extend CC without trying.
Which it doesn't feel very skillful at all. Just feels like, oh okay, I'm just knocked up for an additional half second. Her Q is Flare. She fires a shot or swings her sword, dealing damage. If cast during her E, she strikes all enemies in her path upon completion. I didn't realize that. Her W is Blade Whirl. She slashes around her, dealing damaging enemies and destroying enemy missiles. The E is Wild Rush. She dashes through an enemy or ally, slashing enemies she passes through and gaining attack speed. Killing an enemy champion refreshes this ability's cooldown. And then her ultimate is Inferno Trigger. I mean, Devil Trigger. Samira unleashes a torrent of shots from her weapons, dealing wildly shooting all enemies surrounding her. And this can only be cast when you have S rank on your passive. So she's played in the AD carry role, although I could 100% see her being played in a solo lane eventually. I believe the current... Let me pull this up real quick. Sorry.
No worries.
Okay, so current runes. Conqueror, Presence of Mind, Legend, Bloodline, Coup de Grace, and then taking Sudden Impact and Ravenous Hunter, although I think you can get away with not taking some Sudden Impact and taking something else if you'd like. And then going Attack Speed, Adaptive Force, Armor, or Magic Resist, depending on your lane opponent. Max Q, Max E, Max W. I don't think there's a ton of variance there. W is kind of just a nice single point ability, but her other abilities really shine. So you start with Doran's Blade. You build it into an Essence Reaver, get your Berserker Greaves, get it Infinity Edge, and then sort of branch off from there, getting a more crit with either a Phantom Dancer or another Zeal item. Go off into Bloodthirst or Death Dance territory, and then round it out with Armor Pin, GA, Maw, kind of whatever you need. as your last item.
Yeah, she's a character where I think her itemization in the new season will get better.
Yeah.
But I think her itemization now is like fine. I feel like she doesn't really hit a spike until like maybe what, two or three items in, sort of thing. But she's strong without the spike, I find. I feel like her just kit alone is strong. But next season, when we see items like Bloodthirster that has crit on it, guess what? Her ultimate that crits and heals is going to be very good with first item Bloodthirster. So I think we're going to see her build change a lot in the new year. I think right now she's kind of slow to spike, despite how good she still is.
Yep. So, I don't think there's a ton of variance at the moment. Maybe some of that will come in the future. I think the variance comes from whatever defensive item you pick and whatever you want to pick for your fourth item, but everything else is kind of solved, I suppose. You definitely need to go, I think, Essence Reaver first, unless you get disgustingly ahead, in which case you probably go Infinity Edge. But the cooldown reduction on a character who, her Q is a 2 second cooldown at max rank. So that's kind of disgusting. Pretty good. I forget what else we talk about in this little section. I think we covered everything.
Talk about her lore. Let me pull it up.
Oh, have we done lore?
I don't think we've done lore forever, but I'm down.
That's all right. Let's do lore. I don't know. Sure, she's like a bounty hunter, I imagine.
Let's find out about Samira and what's in the client and what's not. So in the client, there's just one paragraph. So I'm assuming there's more on like the universe website, but I'm just gonna read what's in the client. Samira stares death in the eye. Get it? Because she's got an eye patch and only one eye. With unyielding confidence, seeking thrill wherever she goes. After her Shireman home was destroyed as a child, Samira found her true calling in Noxus, where she built a reputation as a stylish daredevil, taking on dangerous missions of the highest caliber. Wielding black powder pistols and a custom-engineered blade, Samira thrives in life-or-death circumstances, eliminating any who stand in her way with flash and flare.
I can't wait to main this character when she's not overpowered.
Yeah. What do you guys think needs to change about her, like, to make her balanced character-wise, I guess? Not, like, number-wise.
Character-wise, I think it needs to be a little bit harder to build up your style.
Your style, yeah.
And then I think she needs a proper cooldown on her ultimate. Not a very long one. I mean, it could be Yasuo level, but just so she's not able to get two off, you know, instantly within a team fight.
I would really love for her to drop style if she repeated an action. Like, maybe would make her too weak, but, like, I feel like the whole point of her is that, like, you're supposed to, like, put together these, like, unique combos, and when you can halfway through your combo auto them four times, it feels like you're kind of removing that aspect.
Well, what a sick combo. Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the very least, the other option you could do for it is... Like, it's tough to say, like, if you were up at, like, A and then you just auto-attack three times in a row that you'd be back down to D.
Yeah.
But it feels like there should be a penalty, whether it be, like, you then can't build style for an additional, like, half second, or, like, your auto-attacks counteract the next one. Like, there should be something that stops you from, like, going in, doing your combo, building up to, like, B, auto-attacking eight times, and then going in again and being at S after, like, two abilities.
So maybe it's that it drops you one rank, but not more than that?
Then there's, like, a lockout of it can't drop you for, like, another couple seconds or something. That'd be fine.
Yeah, I think if it dropped you by one, and then there was, like, a 1 second or, like, 2 second lockout, that you can't lose a bunch of ranks with a bunch of auto-attacks, but there's also some penalty for not playing the character as intended.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that wouldn't be too harsh, but would also ensure that, hey, if you cast your ultimate, it's because you fucking styled on him.
I also don't think it's, like, too clunky either. Like, I think a lot of solutions are very clunky.
Oh,
Like, one thing that I've always talked about, like, well, always, I say, like, back in my day, no, like, as of since her release, is that I think she would be a lot worse of a character and feel a lot better to play against if her ultimate didn't get lifesteal from Conqueror and Ravenous Hydras.
Yeah,
from like different runes. But I understand that that's a clunky way of balancing a character going, yeah, her ult gets lifesteal, but not from runes. Like, that's such a clunky way to balance her, even though I think that alone, like, fixes a lot of stuff. When you, like, remove the fact that she'd get, like, what, she gets, like, 20% healing with Conqueror proc plus...
I think the way to do that, though, is, like, if you want to limit the healing from being too insane, just give it the Hecarim treatment and give it a cap. Like, give it a cap based on her maximum AD and say her ultimate lifesteal's up to a maximum of, you know, 500 health. She can't get more than that.
Yeah, or just give her the old Rengar W where, hey, your ultimate heals you for a percentage of your health. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just hate the fact that she, like, she can build zero lifesteal items, and just because she has fully, like, proc'd Ravenous plus Conqueror in a fight, she heals her entire health.
Yeah.
Like, she has zero lifesteal items, but she gets to heal full. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, like, I don't like that mechanic, but I don't think there's a non-clunky way to fix it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Oh, well. Cool. So that's Samira. There's not a ton to go into her at the moment.
Yeah, I would say, like, a lot of times we'll talk about specific, like, combos or counter matchups. I don't think any of us know her well enough to dive into that. Obviously, she's good with characters that have CC in lane because she gets to add to that.
She's also good against every character in the game.
True. Any character that uses projectiles... very good against those.
What's the cooldown of that
ability? Character that takes damage.
It is 30 seconds at rank 1, down to 22 at rank 5.
That's reasonable,
so it's a long cooldown.
Yeah.
It's a long cooldown.
That's good. Yeah. It also is like, yeah, that's actually super sick. To like bring up like weaknesses and stuff, I did mention this at the very beginning, but I did say like she feels bad in the fact that if you see like burning all your CC on her is like really bad unless you like one hit her because she like can easily proc her ultimate and stuff. That being said, I don't think you can just like use one CC then wait, because I feel like she's so nimble that if she's ever not CC'd, she can just get away. So I don't know how to like use CC versus her.
I feel like one of the things they could also change is just making it so she can't cast her E on allies.
Yeah.
Because I think that gives her a ton of safety. I mean, she can use it on ally minions as well.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I would love to see that to be like... it's champions only, and then like maybe allies are a shorter range.
I'm even fine with her using it on enemy minions, because I feel like that rewards her a little bit for going in.
Mm-hmm.
But ally minions is just kind of lame.
Yeah, so. That's definitely like, and I get that she's supposed to be like the in-out risk taker, but like, for someone who's supposed to be taking a risk, having that easy of a get out of jail free card is kind of like, well, there actually isn't any risk involved.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, cool. I could see some adjustments there.
Also, base Samira is much better than PsyOps.
Really? I like her PsyOps one a lot.
I like her base skin so much. It looks so sick.
I haven't seen her like PsyOps one in game. Nick and I talked about this. She's like one of the only characters that I haven't seen like anyone play her like skin.
I've only seen her I think I've only seen her her classic skin.
That being said, I think her psyop one looks really, really cool in game from like videos that I've seen and stuff.
I also think she's gonna have the potential to be like one of the coolest champions to make skins for.
Yeah,
it's gonna be insane, like a project skin.
Yeah,
I feel like that's basically psyops, but
it's like saying give her
when
a bilge water skin.
Get bilge water Samira. Yeah.
Let's do it. Cool. That's
new
Samira.
Lore event. Samira stole Miss Fortune's gun and game playing sword.
What about her hat?
What do?
After killing her.
True.
Yeah, for sure. Because
she's a pirate hunter, not a pirate.
I also haven't seen anyone throw the gold yet.
I haven't seen that either.
Except for that one Samira jungle who did that level one, I think.
Yeah, just gave them a gold.
Cool. So let's talk about the LCS. Let's talk about Worlds. So let's talk about OPL first, because that's kind of sad, and I want to talk about Worlds after that. So I'll be less sad. So an update came out today from Riot Oceania. Essentially, OPL is no longer going to be a thing. There's not going to be an Oceanic League. They couldn't maintain it, and it was just hemorrhaging money. So they couldn't stop it. Aiden was saying before the show that the viewership was astronomically low and that most of the oceanic viewers were just consuming other regions, right? Mm-hmm. So no more OPL. They did specify that OCE players would not be taking up an import slot on LCS rosters, only LCS, which is interesting.
No fucking sense, man.
But I can't imagine that many OCE players are going to be able to afford to move to the US without being sponsored by a team. But yeah, now, there's no display for these OCE players.
It just like, especially with like visa issues and stuff, like that's the biggest thing. So just speaking with like that idea in general, first of all, in the fact that, so it's cool that they're like making them like not OCE imports when that's not a league anymore, right?
Yeah.
But why not just make them native to whatever league they sign with?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that this feels like a holy fuck, let's get more NA players like type,
or just
like,
or just like, hey, they don't count as an import anywhere.
Yeah, like I think like if they sign with an EU team, they should be an EU like player. Like as soon as you like sign with someone, I think I would be absolutely a fine way of doing it. Making them immediately NA imports is fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
Or NA player. That's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy. It honestly just feels like they're fishing for like, oh shit, we can get some like more imports to NA and like it will make our NA teams better, which is like such a weird thing to see, like so blatantly obvious.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a just quick grab for a little bit of extra talent because these people have nowhere else to go really. I mean, so they could go to other regions as an import, but unfortunately, I don't think any team is going to risk one of their import slots on an OPL player. I am not familiar with the region, but I don't know of any players that would be worth taking an import slot.
Well, let me give you the last OCE player that took up an import slot in NA, and his name is Ryoma. And now he won't be on an NA, he won't be on a professional team, I believe. So it's like, I understand them not taking an import slot, but why just an A? That's what I don't understand.
OC? I didn't know that.
He came from OC, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like that's an example where like, so Ryoma's like played like shit all split, like did not like put it anywhere, but he's definitely not worth an import slot. But now that he's an NA resident, is he worth a slot?
No,
maybe, like probably not, but like it, maybe. But like,
it
look
makes
at
it a lot more likely that they might pick him up.
Look at
or
like
at least
the
try it.
Yeah, look at the other side of the spectrum though. Like with FBI, is an OC player.
Okay.
The AD carry for Golden Guardians. Mm-hmm. He's
looked pretty good.
Probably the best or second best AD carry in all of NA right now, and I mean
that has
now
to go
just
to tactical, right?
Yeah, tactical or Svenja, right? It's like between those three for sure. But like, what I'm trying to say is like, Golden Guardian just gets like an extra import slot now. Like he just like,
yeah, no, it's great, absolutely.
His value goes up fucking like tenfold. Like this guy should be renegotiating for a contract.
For sure, absolutely, absolutely. It's just they currently don't have a way to display their talents now that there's no professional league. Like, are they just gonna have to? Hey, I'm maintaining rank one in OCE Challenger.
There are independently run tournaments for like Challenger Plus players that I think in the actual team structures, those are probably looked at a little bit. But like, again, it's just lowering the chances of any of these players getting a shot to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's still a general platform. Like, it's not impossible for it to happen. It's just even less likely now because it's not that, you know, TSM's, you know, staffing coach is going to be looking at OPL VODs. It's like, hey, let me like look through the ladder and see if there was like, did an OPL team do really well in like a just independently organized tournament?
What strikes me as super strange is that they kind of like are pussyfooting around this in a way where they're like, hey, don't worry though, OPL is still gonna be at Worlds next year and MSI. What the fuck do you mean you're removing their league and you're like, nah, they'll still have a spot at Worlds? Like, fuck off with that shit. So there's gonna be no OPL league, meaning they're gonna have some sort of like just grassroots program to that like is not at all associated with Riot to determine who their world's team is. Like, what the just like commit to it. That's so strange to me.
Yeah.
At that point, if you're like, yeah, if you still want them to get a slot, like at least to have Riot pick up and say, hey, we're going to run an online tournament.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, 2 months before Worlds, you know, any OPL team of X caliber or like, again, they if they run it online, it's easy. They could do like a, you know, 64 team bracket and then they can cast like the top four or something.
I'm sure Riot will put something on to like decide that. I don't think they're actually going to go, hey, you guys just tell us who your best one is. But like, it's just so crazy to like say, nah, they're still going to get a world spot even though we're removing them as a fucking region.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, that's wild to me that that's even possible. Like, just... like again, if anything, like conglomerate other regions and be like, okay, cool. If you're good enough, go play in this league. Like, there's no reason that a league without a competitive season should have access to a world slot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just no reason, and like, there's not a chance that that team is going to be competitive.
Then again, yeah. NA has three spots, so.
So we'll talk about that in a second. But like Nick and I were talking a little bit about the OPL thing earlier where like, so they were hemorrhaging money. No one watched it. OCE apparently, from what I've gathered from Reddit threads, once again, could be just the Reddit bias. Like just esports and OCE don't do well. Like people don't enjoy watching like OCE esports, generally comparatively to other regions. That being said, yeah, you're hemorrhaging money, but why not just have like a fully online league? Like, you don't need an office. You don't need a stadium. You don't need, like, a franchise system, whatever, right?
You hire just casters and that's it.
Yeah, just have, like, a fucking, like, just have teams, like, that, I don't know, just have it all online, man. Like, it would still cost money, and I'm sure they would still lose money. They wouldn't fucking hemorrhage money, though. Like,
yep.
No, they're, like, running an independent online league, again, like, I've played in a lot of tournaments and, like, independent leagues. It's not that hard to do, and like they could literally employ two people to run that league.
Yep.
And it could work. Like they could have like one person there to just schedule it and be like the communication between the teams and have like one person casting it, and that would be fine.
Yep.
Like, I mean, the only downside to that is that the orgs are still gonna have to pay their players. And like, yeah, where does that money come from?
I mean,
yeah,
I don't think
at that point, I don't think that's as much of an issue because, like, if you're not good enough to be gaining sponsors or winning tournaments, like, yeah, you're not going to be able to pay your players that much.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, like, where's the sponsorship coming from? Because usually that comes from like viewership, right, and ad revenue.
That's the whole point. Is like you'll get what you get, right? That's why, like. As much as it sucks, like, this is one... I mean, I shouldn't bring that up. That's not a good point. Either way, like, viewership, like, is what you... like, how you get value, right? Meaning if there's no viewership, the teams don't have sponsors, and yeah, you probably can't have as good of teams, right? But you can still have, like, people just, like, putting together a team, like, a group of dudes, right?
That's
and you
fair.
Can run
yeah.
tournaments and stuff like that. And yeah, you're not making bank, but you can still have a team that's run, organized, still through Riot, right?
Yeah, I just think it like it sucks that then they would show up to the world's stage against teams that this is all they do 24/7, you know, all the time.
Yeah, but I think that again, that's just like at that point, it's the situation that a lot of wildcard regions are in, where the fact is in most of these regions there are maybe two or three players that if inserted into the LPL would actually be competitive.
Yeah,
like. And again, I think that that's fine for those other regions. Like, hey, if you're a really good OCE player, you shouldn't be in the OCE.
Yeah.
Like, you should move to a competitive region. And, like...
But a lot of people don't have that option. It just sucks. It sucks. There's no good solution to this that is, like, perfect in every scenario.
Yeah.
But it does feel like fucking Riot dropped the ball on this one.
I also hate the fucking, like, just typical, like, press release type speak in this post. Like, it's a post about fucking axing your league, right? Where tons of people are losing jobs, you're closing an office, and it ends with all that being said, Riot remains fully committed to supporting all players in OCA, and we're excited for what's to come in 2021. Like, that annoys me. Like, you literally are just talking about just, like, tons of people losing their jobs. Yeah. And you end it with, we're very excited to see what's coming.
Like, at least off. It wasn't a Twitter post.
Oh, it's yeah. so, oh, it makes me mad. But
it whatever. Was at least it was a full post on Lolly Sports, not just a Twitter.
Just from some dude's Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, some guy just tweeting, OPL is kill. Goodbye.
I wouldn't put it past them, though.
Marketing press release garbage, though. That's annoying.
Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about groups, because that's much more interesting.
Yeah.
So, Group A, G2 and Suning are currently at the top of Group A. They're both 2-1. Team Liquid and Machi are 1-2. So what do we think so far? Kind of lived up to expectations. I feel like the G2 loss is the only surprising game outcome so far.
I mean, Team Liquid losing to Machi is like surprising. Like, even though like people want to meme on NA, the reality is like NA overall is better than like the PCS, right? Is like now the combined PCS. Like yeah. Vietnamese and Taiwanese and all those leagues.
I think so.
They still are better as a whole, and it is an upset Team Liquid losing to Machi. Mm-hmm. So they could lose to them again. I believe it as a like I think it's like a 30-70 like of that of Machi beating them. But that's the reality. Upset, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking through my pickems right now and. Boy, TSM's 0-3. I haven't finished catching up on the initial like games of group stage. But
yeah,
did but I start, have them only at third.
We're looking picks. At Group A right this second, and for next week. So here's the cool thing about this is, I don't think Team Liquid should beat G2 again. I think G2 lost that game off of like getting snowballed on sort of thing, and they still look like they were gonna beat G2 or beat TL. Like the amount of fights that G2 is coming close to winning despite being down like 10k gold is scary to me.
Yep. Yep, they look like a legitimate contender based on the competition so far.
It's crazy like how smart they are as a team. Like there's just times where like they like stop recalls at certain points and force Team Liquid to fight them despite being down like a shitload of gold, and they're just losing these fights just because they're down so much, like, and they're just like trying to make these plays. That being said, I think there's a world where Team Liquid beats them again. It's not like unrealistic. I think it's like probably like the same chance of like
another 30-70 or like 20-80.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is if Team Liquid beats G2 again, Team Liquid probably gets out of groups and G2 probably doesn't, which is insane. That's my timeline that I want.
It really depends. So Suning, I think probably takes.
Suning's gonna get out first seed. I think so.
I think so.
You don't think G2 is gonna beat them again?
I don't think so. I just felt like, I don't know. It just felt like, yeah, G2 played better. But after watching Suning's other games, like, they're actually so fucking dominant, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the things to say, though, is, like, if we go by, like, the odds-on bet, right, G2 will beat Liquid and Machi, Suning will beat Liquid and Machi. Suning G2 is a pretty even game, but, like, if Liquid takes a game off of G2 or Suning, like, there's a pretty decent chance for a tie, and in groups, do ties get just one more game, or do they do a best of three?
They just do one more game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely possible for it to go either way. I can see why you'd favor Suning, but there is a timeline that exists that Team Liquid wins, but I think a lot has to happen at very low percentages.
Oh, yeah. I think so as well. Like their whole world's like kind of run rests on them beating G2 again. And still, it's I think if they beat G2 and assuming they beat Machi, like it's if they lose to Machi again.
Yeah.
If they, like, we're just gonna assume in this like world scenario that they're not gonna lose to Machi. But if they beat G2, I think 3 out of 4 scenarios they auto qualify. The other scenario is that G2 beats Suning and then they lose to Suning, but like there's a world in which Team Liquid knocks G2 out of play group stage, and I think that's so fucking funny because I think you're crazy if you think Team Liquid's a better team.
Yep.
And this is what I meant about best of ones being a kind of a joke. There's I think if Team Liquid plays G2 in a best of 5 100 times, I think they win less than 10 times.
I think it's a 3-1, like, in almost every single outcome.
Yeah.
Right. If they played a best of five 100 times, like 80 of them are 3-1. Like 10 of them are 3-0. Like 5 of them Liquid wins. And 5 of them go to like 5 games. It's not close.
Yeah. And but like if you like do it with best of ones, I actually think Team Liquid wins like 30 out of like 100. Like, which is a crazy number. Like, so I don't know. Yeah. I think it's funny. I think it's so fucking funny, man. That's my dream timeline. And I think G2 is like one of the better teams at the tournament, and I hope they go on because I think they can get like at least semis. But it's funny as fuck if Team Liquid knocks them out. Yeah.
And I just honestly, like, again, I want to see good teams playing good games.
Yeah.
And G2 is going to provide that, and Team Liquid will not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to then watch, go on after groups and, like, watch the series of, like, Liquid against fucking Top or Damwon or DRX, and they just get, like, clean 3-0'd in like, 20-minute games. Like, I don't want to watch that series.
Yeah. That being said, I have a bet against Nick that NA team will make it out of groups, and Liquid is my only hope, so.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Group B is all but decided, I think. I thought FlyQuest was in this group, my bad. That was my segue.
Group B, I think, is the least interesting. Just to
yes, I agree. Damwon is crushing. They look so fucking good. JDG looks so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue and PSG, yeah, kind of.
I suboptimal. took a risk in putting PSG above Rogue. I hope that they can. I hope that they can take their next game.
Yeah, I also put PSG above Rogue, but yeah, it's shaping up to be exactly kind of what we expected. Damwon looks hella good.
Yeah,
cool. I want to talk about Group D next because Group C is the most interesting to me.
Yeah.
Group D, Top Esports first, DRX second, FlyQuest third, Unicorns fourth. I think the only even slightly surprising thing is that FlyQuest beat Unicorns of Love, but I don't even think that's an upset.
No,
I think that's just kind of like a, ooh, that's nice. So
yeah, that was like a, you know, a 60-40 matchup.
Yeah.
Probably. Whichever way you lean, I don't think a Unicorns of Love fan or a FlyQuest fan would probably claim more than that. It's pretty tight. I put FlyQuest above, but like, there's no chance either one of them is gonna.
It's just
DRX or Top.
They look so good as well. Yeah. Top looks absolutely insane.
Assuming no one gets upset by Unicorns of Love, the only way FlyQuest makes it out is if they beat DRX. Them beating Top Esports doesn't mean anything, by the way. So they have to beat. I guess in theory, if they beat both, like if they beat all three teams, they'd get out, but that's not going to happen. But like, yeah. Have to beat DR, like the real game, like the real important game is the DRX game. I don't think they have any chance of beating DRX, but yeah, I think this group is kind of doomed. It's just like a rough group for them, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
I've circle jerked about this like last two podcasts that I think Power Evil is a good player, but I think Knight and Chovy are the best two mids in the tournament, right? So it's kind of like a huge mid gap. It's insane that I think that's like that gap is huge, just because like you have the two best players in the role in the tournament against Power of Evil. It's insane that somehow solo makes the gap look bigger top.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Solo has not been playing very well.
your fucking mid is playing against the two best players in the tournament, and your lane is looking like way more top gapped than mid gapped.
And yeah, honestly, I feel like Power of Evil has looked decent.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like
we're also playing like a lot of control mages and stuff, which is kind of easy to like feed on.
That's the story I think of like Power of Evil's. Like he's a consistent player, and I feel like he's like the golden glue plus plus of. Like, he's probably not going to stomp anyone, but throw him on a control mage, he'll go even. Or at least not end. Whereas, like, solo is like, yeah, he'll probably end if he's not.
Solo winning. Lose the game.
Yeah.
Stop picking Renekton. Stop blind picking Renekton.
Anyway.
Actually group, insane.
Group C, a competitive affair.
Wow.
Well, 75% of the time.
So,
Gen.G, Fnatic, and LGD are all tied for first, splitting games between one another.
Did they all beat? Yeah, they all beat each other like one way, right? Like, yep. Fnatic beat LDG, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and LDG beat Gen.G, and Gen.G beat Fnatic. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
I think that's the way it works. And then TSM lost all three of them. Only way TSM gets out for you TSM fans is they have to 3-0 to pull a tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, TSM's, it's crazy that TSM looks like the worst of the NA teams. Maybe it's just like their group is strong. Don't get me wrong. LDG they, in theory yeah. is the fourth seed, but like they're not, they're playing like just as good as like any like top seed, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily like surprising. It's just sort of unfortunate that they got a very, we got good looking Fnatic and LGD after play-ins. So yeah. It's just one of those. Also Gingy, who is looking probably, I would say probably second best Korean team in the tournament. I think they look a little bit better than DRX, but.
Are we going to see the classic TSM where they, so they have to win all three games to stay in the tournament, right? Are we going to see the classic TSM loses their first game and then plays out of their skulls their next two games that just don't matter?
Yeah, so the thing is, like,
they, like, they just like ruin it for Fnatic or something.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, that's also a possibility. We are entering week two in A, which historically has been utter dog shit.
Yeah, but that's because historically we usually go like even. Like overall, it's like how many games are played? 12, right? I think it's 12. Yeah, 12 games are played in week one. We usually go like 6-6. And then the next week we go 0-13 or something.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I mean is like week two NA, could it be worse than week one, which already looked bad?
No, because
it's pretty hard because we only won two games.
Yeah,
we're fucked.
Do we have predictions on who we think is getting out of Group C? Because I mean, again, TSM nearly impossible. It leaves us with Genji, Fnatic, LGD.
I think Genji gets out regardless. I think Genji's like the best team in the group.
Yep. I'm going to stick with Genji, Fnatic. I think Fnatic pulls it out of their ass.
I think I put Genji, LDG in my pick-ems. And then I put Fnatic third. I originally put TSM second, and then I changed it because I'm like, man, what the fuck's going on in my head?
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just think this is a year where, like, China and Korea look really good. Even, like, EU, like, I don't think EU looks nearly as dominant as they did in past years.
No, absolutely not.
That being said, I think they can take games off other teams. It's not like I think EU's out. I just don't think EU, I don't think G2 is, like, a team that I would say is going to win Worlds. Whereas last year, I think that was a fine prediction.
Mm-hmm. I think they could win Worlds, but they would have to look a lot better than they have in the three games they played so far.
You definitely wouldn't put them in your top three teams to win Worlds.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But yeah. Top five?
Sure, maybe. I think it's fair.
Maybe. It's just, yeah, it's been super interesting. I actually really like the timing of, so I wake up at 6 a.m. Eastern. So I wake up at the end of game three, start of game four. So I'm able to catch half of the games. Then I just go back and watch the VODs, which is pretty nice. But it's been super entertaining so far. Looking forward to week two, which starts tomorrow.
In
a few hours, actually. So
yeah, tomorrow is the Group A day. So we're gonna see Team
Among
Liquid
Us Thursdays.
Pardon me.
It's gonna be the Among Us Thursday.
Oh yeah, true.
Among Us every day.
Are we gonna see all of the Group A games tomorrow? We are. Group A will be decided tomorrow.
Yep. So Group A is tomorrow. Group B is Friday. Group C is Saturday, and Group D is Sunday.
Interesting.
I am not watching Group B at all. I don't give a fuck about how that turns out.
Yeah, I'll watch it when I wake up.
Damn on JV. Yeah. Just to watch that game, but none of the other ones really matter.
Yeah.
Cool.
Have there been any picks that have surprised you so far?
No.
Or like draft priority, anything?
Other than the fact that, like, so we knew Nidalee was going to be strong going in, but I didn't know she would be like, what? She's like, I think she's almost 100% pick ban right now in main event. Let me check champion stats. She is 95% pick ban right now. Oh, Syndra's the one. Syndra, why the fuck is Syndra the most contested mid in the game right now?
I think it's because she has like super good mid prio, and just like kill pressure off of anything.
She's just super safe too, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
like
fair.
At no point in the game is Syndra weak. I think maybe level one, but when you're going up against Orianna, like that's not a bad thing.
The other one that we're starting to see is Alistar. Alistar starting to be played again. I fucking love seeing Alistar in pro play. People like poor JJ make that character look busted.
Yeah. Fucking Mickey X.
Yeah.
Wait, is that how you pronounce it? Mickey X, yeah.
Yeah. I think people just call him Mickey.
Their fucking duel this morning was yesterday.
The set
was
Alistar
insane.
Game. Yeah.
The set Alistar game was crazy. They both played out of their minds.
So I was talking to someone about this. Like, everyone's jerking off Core JJ for that performance on set. So Core JJ won them the early game, which ended up snowballing and winning them the game. Core JJ playing set, right? I think Core JJ almost threw that game, though. Like, there was a couple, like, plays where he just, like, actually inted. Like, there was a dive on the top tower in their base where, like, he ults someone into their base and then just dies. And I'm like, yeah, he got them a lead, and I guess that's the important part, but, like, dude almost threw the game.
Yeah. Granted, it is very fucking hard to play set with no items.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to play any frontliner with no items. But
it's literally using your W perfectly.
Yep. Use your W, and then they have to burn extra to kill you, and then you die. Yeah.
But, I mean, Core JJ, if anyone, is somebody who knows how to use a character with only one ability.
Yes. Yes.
Also,
Tom Kench.
We had a bet. The three of us, if you guys remember that.
Okay, I forgot what it was.
So our bet was who was going to have losing. The highest pick ban.
Ooh, okay.
And we decided we couldn't choose 80 carries. And for some reason, none of us chose Nidalee, despite us all knowing that she was going to be OP. And currently, I have to add together both play-in and main event, because I think that's fair to play-in and main event. Or you guys just want to do main event. I'm fine with either.
I'm fine with either. I don't care either way.
Colton, do you have a preference? Or?
Whichever one puts me higher in the ranking.
Good point.
Anyways,
good point.
Just looking at main event, because there's more games so far, I chose... Who did I choose? I chose Shen, Nick chose Volibear, Colton chose Hecarim. Volibear is currently winning highest contest with 15 games, followed by Shen at 14 and Hecarim at... I thought I saw Hecarim. Hecarim at 3.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. I think I lost.
Well, in play-ins, I think it was a lot closer, though. Let me just
it was,
check
yeah.
play-ins. Because play-ins was Shen at 21, Hecarim at 14, and then Volibear at 11. So we'll add them together so like it's a little bit closer,
well,
I think.
No, I think it'll be groups.
shut up.
I think it'll be groups only.
I think regardless, I'm going to lose, and it's between you two.
And the bet was but that the loser pays the winner. Loser buys the skin for the winner, and then the middle person is like just net even.
Oh, true. So I'm gonna owe one of you guys a skin.
Yeah, I already won my first skin from Texan, who said that Team Liquid would not win a single game versus Suning or G2.
I think I also... I don't think I currently owe you a skin.
You currently owe me a skin. That we were doing double or nothing for if NA gets out of groups. Because you were going to owe me like the
skin. Okay.
But if NA doesn't get out of groups, you owe me nothing.
I forgot that our bet wasn't NA doesn't win a single game. NA doesn't win more than one game versus China.
No, our bet was way fucking dumber.
Yeah,
than mine.
You're right. You're right.
So you're probably
that's
off
a
hook
big.
For skin
you'll there. I'll find out tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's crazy.
That's fun. I'm excited for League though. League's fun to watch.
Yeah, I hope we get a lot of tiebreakers.
Yeah.
That's my goal. I like tiebreakers.
Cool.
Cool. So that's pretty much it for the LCS. We talked about that for a long time. So let's get into the roundtable.
Yeah, so last week's question was, what new item are you most excited for and why? We got all of our answers from our Discord this week because my post on Facebook looked like it was just posting the images despite me asking a question because Facebook formats shit like shit. Anyways.
Sure does.
This week's answer is one from Fable. He says, new Infinity Edge looks sweet, makes Caitlyn even better, which I'm down for, an Essence Reaver, but easily the Shield Bow is my new favorite item. Nothing ruins my day more than getting one-shot by Zed, Talon, Yasuo, Yone, literally any mage or any tank, cries an AD carry. Yeah, fucking defensive items are sick for AD carry.
I played a Jinx Arim today. I had 12 kills and lost to a one armor item Volibear.
Hell yeah. So.
That was pretty poggers.
Lacona says, I've I'm very excited for the new Ancient Runestone. I miss my Sightstone, allowing supports to store extra control wards and have a higher cap on wards is going to feel really good. I expect the massive ability haste numbers to drop, but the movement speed is a nice touch. I like that it's limited to level 13. It also allows supports to get usually two key items in their build before grabbing it. Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. I think it's going to change up pro play a lot. Maybe not for the better, maybe for the better. I'm not sure. Because I feel like if you watched pro play in season 2-3 sort of thing, it was less entertaining because you had more vision, which allowed for like less
plays.
Yeah, right. If you have perfect information, you don't make mistakes, right? And that's kind of the problem with like wards, but who knows? Maybe it'll make it more interesting. I just hope it doesn't make it like less interesting.
I hope so too, yeah.
Is it a full like mythic item?
It's not a mythic item, no. It's just like you have to pay like a shitload to upgrade your like ward thing, and then it just like turns into like a ward holder with extra slots.
Yeah. Oh yes. Okay, but it
There's gonna be more vision in the game in theory.
You still have to like buy the support item. Because I was like, oh shit. I was like, can Lee Sin buy this again? But no, it's still based off.
Yeah, you have to buy a support item, upgrade that, and then at level 13 pay to upgrade it more, I think. Cool. Next one's from Gecko. He says, the new Liandry's looks really good. As someone who plays Jax, Wukong, and Teemo, I think Teemo will have the better items out of those three right now. Trinity does not look good slash seems underwhelming. With Teemo's first item now giving some magic pen, ability, haste, and mana, along with the tick damage, Liandry seems like a much stronger power spike item, only giving up some health and having it cost only 300 more gold. Not sure if the other AP mythics will be better for Teemo, but I enjoy seeing the tick damage do work on health bars, so I hope Liandry's will still be his first item. Orden says, honestly, as a Lucian slash Ezreal player, I'm super excited to play with the new Muramana slash Tyr. The way the stacking works and now is any attack made towards an enemy grants you X amount of stacks towards the Tyr. X being the type of enemy that you hit, minion, tower, monster, or champion. You can no longer stack it without at least autoing or hitting an enemy with a spell. It takes less stacks overall to evolve the item and synergizes with the new Spellblade Essence Reaver. I really like that. I like the idea that you can't just like just spam shit in base. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the most optimal way to like stack stuff. It's cool that it forces you to do stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, I like that too.
The last Samurai, our $100 patron, says, I'm looking forward to Night Harvester. You thought proc and gunblade in someone for a reset with Katarina is strong. Well, what if you wouldn't even have to activate it and proc it on the enemy once in a team fight? The only sad part is no Omnivamp, but there are other options to get that later. Yeah, it's kind of like just, I'm glad they're removing gunblade, but fuck, I hate auto procking stuff. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Rengar equals best champ in the game said, damn, Rengar with the new Duskblade, can you imagine getting one shot in the middle of a team and then having Rengar just go invisible for 1.5 seconds to escape or get to another bush to pounce again? Yeah, I'm not excited for that at all.
Nope. So is it true invisibility? Is it invisibility or is it like the camouflage?
It's not camouflage, like, it's invisibility.
No, it's current state, it says invisible. So we can assume that it's invisible now. We'll see if they change it at any point.
I think Talon's going to be the worst with it in the game. Like
I could see it, yeah.
Because there's no way. So like Talon, he one hits someone, right? Comes out of nowhere, one hits someone. And then there's no way in 1.5 seconds he can't just get to like a wall to jump over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see how it works. Anyways, this week's question is, what League of Legends champion would have the best social media profile? Why? Whose social media would you go to, Nick, to like go see what they're posting?
So that's a hard one because my answer was going to be a little bit different. I was going to pick Rammus in the same way that Commander Shepard's reviews are some of my favorite on Steam.
Yeah.
I'm Commander Shepard and this is my favorite game on Steam. And I feel like that would just be the sort of spirit of the Rammus social media, yeah, is that he would just reply okay to anything. I think that would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Clearly Amumu would have the best social media profile because he would not have any friends. There'd be no interactions with any of his posts. It'd be great.
I could just imagine it's like a Facebook profile and you just can't add him. Like it's just like broken or something. Like you just can't be friends
like
with
him. But like he posts like every day and there's just like zero likes, zero replies.
That'd be so sad.
That is really
like photos of Amumu, profile pictures, photos with friends, zero pictures.
Aww. That's actually really sad.
What a great answer.
Yeah, that's actually really, really sick.
I'm just kidding.
Mine would be Gragas. He just like posts like stuff to Instagram, fucking just drinking with the boys like every night. Just goes out.
That'd be a pretty good one.
With the boys.
With the boys.
Are you sure you wouldn't just be like accidentally liking fucking Caitlyn Beach pics at 2 in the morning?
Caitlyn Beach pics from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh. Yikes.
Anyways, want to tell us what champion you think would have the best social media and why, you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, send us an email, leaguecastpodcast.com, or sorry, mail at leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord, post in our roundtable section. It's found on our website, leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord.
Poggers! All right, let's move into mail fight. We got quite a few emails since we missed last week. So we're gonna get through these as quickly as we can. So the first one is actually from a private message from Kiptario, who says, okay, I'll have to play more ranked stuff then. Also, something that could be discussed on the podcast, maybe, it personally gets me, like getting upset. I don't blame my teammates unless it is really their fault, or blaming teammates, raging. I don't rage or leave games or AFK, but I get tilted. So what's a good way to combat that and stay calm? Then I don't play ranked much because... it's like if I play ranked, I have to do well, so I never feel like I'll do well enough to actually play ranked. How do I feel better about playing ranked? Kiptario. So I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, where your best bet is to just play a bunch of games to where eventually these ranked games start to feel more normalized, and they don't feel, you know, super special and spectacular. And you don't have to do well every single game, because that's unrealistic entirely. You're going to int some games. You're going to lose some games you should win. You're going to win some games you should lose. So play a bunch. And then honestly, mute everyone. Mute everyone in the game. I think keep pings unmuted is fine. But typing can only be detrimental most of the time.
Turn off your own chat as well.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Turn off all chat and... oh, okay, you mean typing to other
people.
Because
there's a difference between like muting and then like turning off chat. Like today I played a ranked game and I was getting frustrated because I think Yon is a little bit annoying because I think he has a lot of mobility for how much damage he does. So yeah. Every single time I died or someone on our team was all... everyone was like annoyed at Yon. So like we were all kind of just like getting mad together. But at some point I just realized that at this point I'm just typing... being angry, and I'm just if I just don't type and don't be angry, I'll play better.
Yep. So I mean, that's sort of like two really quick ways to do it. Good luck, Kiptario. It honestly is going to feel like this for a while, but eventually you start to realize that each individual game does not mean a lot. So playing that one game and losing that isn't going to make or break your entire season.
Yeah.
You know, the people who have played 1800 games aren't going to, they're not going to not get to where they're supposed to be based on one ranked game.
Yeah, of course.
So
cool.
All right. Thanks, Kiptario.
Next one's from Spencer. He said, on the last show, you guys talked about how the bread and butter abilities, often skill shots of champions, tend to be on their Q. I sincerely wish that was not the case. And the largely passive W abilities went there instead. I became very aware of that trend a few years ago due to an injury. Started playing League in 2011 and always have been a four-finger player. In 2014, though, I broke my pinky on my left hand playing basketball. Holy shit. I went to the doctor and all they could do was put it in a splint until it got healed. It got better, but to this day, it still gets sore and stiff from prolonged use. I noticed that playing League for more than 2 to 3 games really starts to bother me. It is also a problem when I type for extended periods of time, such as writing college papers. I haven't attempted to make a switch to 3-finger approach, and I'm not really sure I could. I have always been primarily a controller player. I think League is the only game that I play with mouse and keyboard that is not turn-based. Maybe Wild Rift will work out better since it's coming to consoles. Additionally, I'm about to turn 28, but man, do I feel old on the internet sometimes. In particular, there's something that has confused me for a few months now. On the podcast, you guys keep saying things like Pog, PogChamp, and Poggers. I have no idea if I spelled any of that right. What do they mean? Are they acronyms? Thanks for helping an increasingly out-of-the-loop gamer keep up with these kids these days. Sorry for the long email, Spencer. So I guess let's just start with the second part. So on Twitch, which is the streaming platform, I'm assuming you're not that much of a boomer, there's emotes. And one of the global emotes is PogChamp, which is the face of Gutex, the Twitch employee. So PogChamp is like kind of like for cool moments. Like it's like him doing like an excited, like, holy shit kind of face. So that's where
PogChamp. Yeah, it's sort of like a surprise excited, like, yeah. Holy shit, that was awesome.
So yeah, so people use PogChamp, and then that has been derived into Pog and then Poggers, which, yeah, yeah, that's where it comes from. So just Pog is like equivalent to like PogChamp, which is the emote on Twitch for like excited or like cool shit. As for your injury, I actually think Wild Rift is actually super sick for you, like especially since it is coming to console. I feel like there are so many, like especially in North America. I feel like in North America, like there's a lot of fucking just like console game. I guess there's console gamers ever in the world, but I feel like in North America, the proportion of people who play PC to people who play console is like way different than the rest of the world.
I do think it's one of those things where you get a lot more. Overall value from having a computer to play games on,
yeah,
where maybe other, you know, fucking countries aren't able to
yeah,
splurge on an Xbox One X, S, X, W, Switchy, whatever. PS5, I should have just said that.
Yeah.
Aren't you, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you able to swap? Yeah, you can, so you, maybe you should have to do it champion specific, but you are able to swap ability keys onto other, like other keys. So if you're playing Vayne, you know, you're able to swap your W onto your Q and your Q onto your W.
It'd be very annoying to learn because you'd still have the visual cues of like your Q being on your Q, but you could change that. Yeah.
It's definitely, it is an alternative to playing 2 to 3 games and then stopping. If you want to play some more games and you don't mind like a little bit of learning curve, you can set up hotkeys. I'm not sure if you're able to do it for every single like champion specifically, but maybe at the start of the game you could, you know, spend 15 seconds, you know, just setting that up real quick. Because you shouldn't have to do more than a little bit.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's so many characters that have like one ability that's not really as important. Like Vayne's a great example. Like easily putting like your pinky finger, like your W on that Q key would be like exactly, super yeah, useful. That's
or,
really
or
cool.
Or even like Karthus, you know?
Yeah.
You want his wall, which is a very less useful ability on, you know, on the pinky rather than the Q that you're going to be hitting 700 times a game.
Maybe it's crazy, but you could also put Alt on your pinky. Like I know it's an important ability, maybe you don't have the dexterity to put it on your like your important ability on your like pinky, but like you're only gonna use your alt like I don't know at most like on most characters like 10 times a game, 15 times a game.
Yeah, and as long as it's not like a well eventually you'd get used to it, but yeah, I mean give it a shot. Hey, yeah, it's an alternative.
Or good try to learn three fingers. I feel like there's a lot of people I feel like there's a poll done and most people play three fingers League of Legends.
I actually think most people do, which kind of weirds me out. Where do you put your pinky?
They just like have it to like the side. I think they like put it on tab. And they ugh, a lot of people use it for like control and stuff sometimes.
Huh.
I just use like my palm for control, but a lot of people
use I use pinky. My palm as well. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah, good luck, man. Wild Rift's gonna be sick for you though. Honestly, like I feel like a player like this could easily just make the switch to Wild Rift and be happy with their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it looks so good. The models look incredible. I'm very glad that they're remaking them for Wild Rift.
Yeah, they're putting effort into it. Sick.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Next email is from Dippy. If you could make one outlandish change to any of the systems in League, what would you do? I would make the blast cones directly across river from Baron and Dragon near Tribush, able to interact with Smite so that a jungler could smite it to upgrade the blast cone, not putting Smite on cooldown and greatly extending the launch distance. The idea is red side has a very low dragon steal potential. Give them a superior launch, a super launch, to put them in the dragon pit and capable of contesting Dippy. Huh. I kind of don't like that just on the whole blast cone idea, but I think it's super cool to be able to alter things on the map like that.
Yeah, it'd be cool if the jungler could alter like stuff, but I just don't know if blast cone is the right thing to alter.
Yeah, because then I feel like you have to alter everyone, and then what? Honeyfruit is just more. That's yeah, cancer. what outlandish change would you do?
I mean, I just want to destroy terrain in the game. I feel like that's still like, super sick, but I don't think they can do that unless they make the whole map like different. But
yeah, I think they'd have to remake basically everything.
Yeah,
destroyable terrain would be really cool.
I'll go with that as well. That'd be awesome.
Just be cool.
The amount the amount of paths you could change and things like that would be so sick.
They could even come back after like a minute or so, but having like characters that can destroy terrain like would be so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Cool. Thanks, Dippy. Oh, you lucked out with this one.
This one's from Noah. It says, sorry for the long email. Pog.
Damn, too long. So next is from Elliot. Subject champion ideas. So here's the thing. I have a lot of champion ideas, and I'm going to start sharing them because I got to get them off my chest. Here's one for the day. The opposite of Yumi, where you ride them. It's like an animal-based character. Think about it. It's a form-based champion where the passive is someone can ride you, and you take half of each other's max HP, add them together, and when that goes all the way down, the rider is ejected with a quarter of its HP, and the other champion dies. So here are their abilities. I'm already going to apologize now for the long email. Q alone is tail whip. You whip around your tail, dealing damage based on your max health. Ooh, you got dog action down there. What's happening? Someone must be home. When you have a champion on you, you take two tail whips. One being a percent of your max health, the other being a percent of their max health. W without a champion is buck. You dash backwards, dealing a small amount of damage in front. And with a champion, you do the same thing, but it ejects the rider with half of their max HP, leaving you with an eighth of your HP. It's used to save them before you die. E without a champion is pounce. You hurl yourself at a target, slowing them for 50% and doing damage with the champion. It's the same thing, but it's now a stun that also does percent max health damage. Okay, cool. Hate that. And ultimate is same for both, called grow, grow, grow. You multiply your max health, armor, and magic resist by a percentage and double your champion size as well as the rider if applicable. Again, sorry for the long email, and please do tell me if this is broken as all hell, Elliot. It's broken.
It's
but
between awful and broken. Like,
I think it's disgustingly broken. Simply because this character can just build max HP and they have an untargetable vein in melee range.
They do a bunch of max health damage too.
Yeah, with decent CC and mobility, it's busted.
I can't wait to queue mount though. Imagine like you're in rank queue and they go, hey guys, what do you want me to play? They say mount. You're playing mount.
Yeah. Wait, cool. So what happens with Yumi, this character?
She doesn't count. She just like she can get on the person who's riding you.
Oh, so it can be a three-man like fucking battleship. Damn, okay. I kind of like it now.
Cool.
Nice. Thanks, Elliot.
Next one's from Callum, and he says, to answer the roundtable question, I would say just play Rengar, but I think the best way to climb out of low elo is to be a super proactive jungler. For example, try to take as many Drakes and Heralds and Barons as you can, or gank a lane or you can try to gank a lane, not just for a kill, but to help them take a turret. P.S. This is Rengar equals best champ of the game. P.S. Sorry for the short email. I'll write an essay. Next time I'll write an essay. Pog. I kind of assumed it was Rengar equals best champ of the game when he said to play Rengar. But,
the only person who talks about Rengar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, just push towers when you gank. It's super free.
Yeah.
Get plates.
Getting a plate every time is insane.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know. People don't understand how much, like, gold plates give. Like, there's this Reddit jerk-off thread about Reckless today. I'm not sure if you saw that. Where I was talking about how Reckless has the highest gold difference at 15 now at, like, 700. And next highest, like, for AD carries is, like, 300 gold difference at 15 in the role. Mm-hmm. And what they failed to mention was that it was a sample size of 3. One of the games he had negative 160 at 15. One game he had 300 at 15. And the other game is the game where he got 2 kills early and took all 5 plates solo. So he had 2,000 gold difference at 15.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, plates are insane. If you like get a crazy game where you get ahead and get like a bunch of plates, you're actually like up like 5 kills worth of gold. If not more.
Yeah, think about it. Like one plate is worth half a kill.
Yep.
Like right there. That's crazy. So then you get 5, 2.5 kills?
Yep.
Plus first turret bonus if you're alone is 600? Insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Callum. Next email's from John. Hello. Last week you guys were talking about Call of Duty, and it kind of got me thinking, what do you guys think about adding killstreaks in League like they have in Call of Duty? Like getting 30 kills without dying to activate a nuke might be overpowered. But I'm curious about your thoughts. What other killstreak type advantages do you think could hypothetically Work in Summoner's Rift. Is this a long email and do I need to apologize for it? Nah. Thanks for all you guys do, John. I fucking despise this idea. Because you know what comes alongside killstreaks? Death streaks. And that's even worse.
Fuck, get Mari Dom for your fucking...
God forbid the fucking inting scion gets martyrdom. Yep, gets painkiller. Fucking, oh, he's unkillable now.
What's the death streak in Modern Warfare where you got the copycat?
Yeah, where you die
many times 80 carry and you just get the other 80 carries build for a death. How crazy!
That's actually insane. Holy shit! I didn't think about that.
That might actually be fucking the best one.
Last stand. Ugh.
Yeah. So I think there could be a game mode where there is like kill streaks where like you could spend gold to like buy Baron buff or something for your team. That'd be cool.
You know, that should have been in Blackmark Brawlers 2.
Yeah, it kind of is like that.
That'd
in a
be
way.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea though. Yeah. Just doesn't work for the game, I think.
Yeah, I think it's too snowbally one way or the other.
Cool. So. Next is from Lord of Sunlight. He says, "Hey boys, just wanted to write in on a question my brother and I were debating. Would it be more beneficial to one's chances of winning to either one, never miss a skill shot, or two, have no fog of war? I want the Galaxy Brain duo's opinion on this hot take. I don't have a ton of time to play these days, especially with law school midterms destroying my psyche. Who knew that a 29% was middle of the curve? Holy shit.
Yikes.
That's insane. Anyways, keep up the great podcast, Lord of Sunlight." Never miss a skill shot or have no fog of war.
It's 100% have no fog of war. I mean, like, so Ashe is insane, right? Mm-hmm. It's map wide now and permanent.
Huh.
It's actually the most disgusting thing in the world.
Have you ever seen the melee like pill question?
No.
It's like so these would be like two of like the League of Legends like pills. Like they like give you like a specific power up and you can like choose one pill is like the idea, right?
Okay.
So yeah. Like here's the melee one. I'm just gonna link it to you really quick. So like one of the melee ones was like your reaction times speed up by 3 frames. Or like the blue pill is you could if an advanced tech it says some of them are like just poor English. You can like shine like do any shine technique like 100% perfectly every single time. It's like stuff like that, right? And there I would love to develop one of these for League of Legends. I think never miss a skill shot and have no fog of war would be easily two of them though.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's cool though, because like you can argue about all these and you could rank them all. But like the reality is so like kind of all the pro players like went through this like melee pill thing. And they everyone pretty well decided that the best one, like almost certainly was the red pill, which is you could practice 3 times as efficiently as normal. And it's like that's just because like if you're like someone who wants to put in effort, like doing that will just like outpace anyone else's like gimmick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to put one of these together for League. That'd be super fun someday.
That's interesting. I definitely thought orange or gray would have been up there.
People like orange was like I think a lot of people's like top one for melee. That was the like you always play at your physical peak, so like you never like you never have like jet lag or anything like that.
I don't know. I think no fog of war would just be like, so you completely negate the jungler.
Yeah,
like assuming your teammates listen to you. But how you can turn on, I don't know, you could say, hey, I have no fog of war, I'll ping where the jungle is every 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think like in this theory, like it's not like the game fog of war wouldn't be there, you'd just be able to like track everything perfectly as if there was no fog of war, you know what I mean? But like I sense the equivalent, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just better. I like almost 100% certain, right?
I think so too. Yeah.
That would like be able to compete with like the like just like practice at like a fucking 10 times amount like then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like
I just feel like there are very few times in which like a single skill shot has won a game compared to the amount of times in which a single like ward slash control ward slash like loss of vision has won the game.
Yeah.
But
that'd be cool to try to translate these though. We should do that at some point. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We'll do that for like a Patreon show or something.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, Lord of Sunlight. Next email is from Gecko. Hey, hello to the boys. Hello, LeagueCast. I hope you guys had a great week. I'll be quick and state my question to make this email shorter. But for now, I apologize for its length. Wait. but for my to apologize for its length later on. I don't understand. Sorry. With the new dev blog, we have seen some of the upcoming changes to the items. So my question is, are there any champs that you think will be negatively affected by item changes? From what I've seen so far, Cho'Gath will have a tough time with some of the changes, with Protobelt Ludens and Liandry's turning into mythic items, so the core items of his AP build are gone, slash will be heavily nerfed, since those are his usual items when going full AP. The Glacial Augment items are getting removed, so his Glacial sets won't work as well, and Gargoyles now gives shield instead of HP, so his ult won't get buffed when activated, leaving his tank slash bruiser build being the only build not affected as heavily by the others. My boy will really be struggling from what I've seen, and it is pretty sad. Hopefully he could get a rework, but I can only hope. Thank you again for the great content, and sorry for the long email, Gecko. I hadn't thought about that. I'd have to see like a full list of items.
Kennedy and I actually talked about this a fair bit, because she likes Cho'Gath. She also likes Glacial items. I think Glacial items are some of the most fun items in the game right now. We don't know if they're removing Glacial from the game, right? Like, it sounds like they are, because they're removing all the Glacial items.
Yeah.
But I think Glacial is the best way to play Cho'Gath personally, and I think that absolutely fucks them, removing like all those actives and stuff. But I still think like AP Cho'Gath's really good, and I don't think like just because his items that he currently builds on AP Cho'Gath are being changed, I don't think that means he's going to be bad as AP Cho'Gath.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to like continue to evolve.
He'll have a different build.
So. Yeah. It's not like his damage is changing tremendously. It's just the reliability to which his combo can land.
Yeah,
which which is very important.
Yeah, like I think they're removing the best way to play him, but like I still think like you're gonna evolve and play him like in a different way. You just won't be able to build him as like low, like they always hit your Q because you have Glacial Cho'Gath like tank build, and I think that's fine. I think it's cool that the game it like changes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Cool,
awesome. Thanks, Gecko.
Next is from Rindosu. Hey, LeagueCast, I've been listening to your guys' podcast for a few months, and I'm really enjoying listening to it while working long hours. Anyways, my question for you is this. I've been playing a ton of Samir lately, and I've been dominating bot lane. I've stat-checked myself a few days ago and was telling me that my damage kill participation in CS was top 15% of Samir players. Is that good, or because I'm playing a broken champion? I come from playing Overwatch as a Grandmaster Lucio and Genji player, Lucio's Pog, and I feel like her playstyle is a lot like Genji in MOBA form, which is how I felt comparing Sona to playing Lucio. Like everyone else, sorry for the fairly long email. Love you guys.
Ooh. So if it's telling you you're top 15% of Samira's, everyone's playing that OP character, right?
Yeah, it depends what you're using, right? So that being said, if you're comparing yourself to Samira's in your ELO, then that's sick, right? If you're top 15% of Samira's in, say, like your gold, right? And you're comparing yourself to other gold Samira's, that's awesome. If you're comparing yourself to the whole pool of Samira's, that's not really a true thing because you're going to compare yourself to Iron Samira's. You're also going to be comparing yourself to Challenger Samira's, right? I feel like I see that a lot in our Discord where someone goes, look, I do a higher damage share than Challenger players playing this character, right? But that's because they're playing against Challenger players and you're playing against Silver players, right? So it turns out it's a lot easier to like do stuff like that. It's just, I think stats are like a weird thing where they can easily be misinterpreted of what they're actually telling yourself. But if, once again, if you're doing it the right thing, like if you're looking at Samir players in your ELO, then hell yeah, man, you're doing fucking awesome.
You can absolutely make like statistics out to be whatever you want to support any argument. So yeah, the context matters. I still think she's really strong. I don't think she's quite like disgustingly game-winning overpowered as she was on release. But she is definitely hella strong. So, hey, if you're killing it, go for it. That's awesome. Cool. Thanks, Rindosu. Okay. Did you read this?
No, I just posted them.
Okay, cool. I guess we both can, right? Because I'm not going to read a lot beyond the line. Okay.
There's also two, because he did one for this week as well.
Ooh, okay. Hey, LeagueCast here once more with the 7th double roundtable answer for this week. My answer is basic as hell, but my favorite place in Runeterra has to be Piltover / Zaun. Not only are all my favorite characters from this region, but it also has my favorite pieces of lore, particularly the former gang of Vi, Echo, and Jinx. For episode 233... his answer was Udyr, because he's the type of champion I would add to my pool, but his abilities are just so boring, and he feels like shit. I said Aatrox because Riot wants him to be both a tank and a warrior, and he sucks ass at both. Colton said Yorick because goddamn he needs it. And Aiden, you said Misfortune because she's a pirate, and pirates need to be cool, not lame. When Nick pointed out that she is actually a pirate hunter and not a pirate, Aiden said no because she has a pirate hat.
True, though.
I do remember that.
I mean, that is what makes a pirate, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I guess the ship also, but...
Who would you most want to see get a rework?
Yeah, it's got to be a rework, right?
I think so. Okay, so I'm going to scroll down. Yeah, what champion do you think should be next in line for a rework? P.S. Aiden likes pirates that are cool. One Piece is a show about cool pirates, therefore Aiden should watch One Piece. P.P.S. One Piece is awesome. Currently on the Water 7 arc, episode 246, and it's amazing. I think Colton said he got to about 300, so that's really cool. Sorry for the Gomu email. Why, dog? The One Piece guy.
No, thank you.
That's really, really cool.
They should make like a One Piece, like a bridged like thing, like how I watched. Not abridged. What was I thinking? Kai. I watched Naruto Kai, which was like this fan project where they cut all the filler and made the episodes into like 1 hour, like to 2 hour episodes. And honestly, dude, I wish other shows had that. Like as I don't think Naruto is a good show by any means. Don't get me wrong. But them condensing Naruto from being what 500 episodes or no, it's like I think it's like 700 episodes because it's I think 500 just Shippuden, right? Down to 72 is sick. Like that's something that you can sizably go like, you know, once or twice a week I'm gonna watch an episode of this and it's like an hour long. It's like a short movie.
Yeah, and just work through it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not watching 1,000 episodes of One Piece.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
That being said, I'm assuming, so at this point, Aatrox and Yorick didn't have the reworks, probably, for that question.
I would assume so, yeah.
That's cool, because I think the Yorick rework still is cancer, but he's better than he used to be, and I think the Aatrox rework made him way better than he used to be.
And Misfortune got a mini rework, if I'm not mistaken, where they put her... they put Love Tap on her passive and move speed on her W.
Yeah,
so like a tiny one, and she's definitely in a much better spot than she used to be.
For sure. I still think she needs some other changes, but
I think so too, but that's all right.
Cool.
We'll get to M's eventually.
This one's from Johnny, and he said, bye-bye old grungy Nunu. Hello Cookie Monster Urgot. And before you say old version was a copy strike bait, new grungy Nunu is literally Monsters Inc's. Make doable. I'm assuming this was like based on I think I missed the subject line of this email. I'm assuming it's based on like cool skins.
Copyrighted skins or something. Like if skins didn't, you'd have to worry about copyright or whatever. Yeah. I kind of want the timekeeper lady from Monsters Inc., but as an Urgot skin.
Oh, fuck. There's no way anyone knows her name.
What's her, is his name like Doris or some shit?
Fuck. I don't know.
Wazowski. She sounds like that, though.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking funny. Awesome. Thanks, Johnny.
Roz.
Roz, okay. Next email's from Dippy. Subject, grounded effects. Do you think League should have more grounded effects or other methods of reducing movement? I'd like to see more champs with grounding. Like, maybe if Kog'Maw... maybe give Kog'Maw a half-second grounding effect for those hit by the rollout of his slow. Or maybe give champions abilities that, instead of slowing targets, reduce speed steroids... Slows can feel rather harsh when your movement isn't increased, but slows are often the best way to handle high move speed, Dippy. I think grounded has to be something that is in the game very sparingly, because they are very powerful. That being said, we may be, like, I'm not sure why there isn't a mechanic in which you can't use a like movement skills, but you can still flash. Because I think that would be a very good way to extend it to more champions.
Yeah, it wouldn't feel overbearing if that was the case, I think.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I can still flash out of this. I'm not completely immobile.
Yeah, so, ground is like, very gross. Like I remember like still like when they added ground to Poppy in that patch, and all of us were like, what the fuck are they doing? Like Poppy is weak as fuck at that point, but like... it's crazy. It actually, like, it. Poppy now, like, hard wins every single one of those, like, really fringe top matchups. Like, Renekton, Fiora, Irelia, like all Riven. Those ones. Riven. Riven's a crazy one. Like, she hard wins those.
I think she shits on Riven now.
Yeah. Like, she just hard wins those all because you mm-hmm. stop them from doing their dash and then you ground them and you do damage.
Yeah. Actually crazy.
Cool. Next is from Dante Boy. He said, I emailed about learning how to play Mundo, and now I'm playing Garen. He does damage.
Uh-oh.
He's all around easy to play. When I first started playing League, my sister's boyfriend told me to play top, and I learned very quickly to ban Alawi, good man, and I haven't played against one in a very long time. As I played and failed at Akali mid, I noticed less and less people picking Alawi top, so when I picked up top again, I banned Quinn instead of her for one game. Guess what? The enemy team picked Alawi.
Oh.
I shit you not, I have never had less fun playing this game. Who at Riot thinks that this botanist bitch was a good idea whipping her vines around like it's nothing? I don't think she's a plant, man.
Got his champs mixed up.
I personally think this champion should be out of the game, and if you don't agree, you're simply you're wrong. You can you literally cannot farm. Whenever she uses her E, it takes the soul out of my champ and out of my actual body. I have never hated a character more, and if she is picked while I'm in a different position, I know we're going to lose. Riot, burn this plant bitch, please. She's not a plant. Thank you for listening.
I think he's playing in Zyra. Yeah,
thank you for listening to my rant. Anyways, what are your guys' least favorite champions to play against? Sorry for the long email. Yeah, I just want to start by, I think Alawi is one of the least fun characters in the game.
Yep.
Because the gameplay is, when she throws out E, if you get hit by it, you lose the trade. If you dodge it, you get to lane for 15 seconds.
Yep.
It's super unfair.
Hey, if she gets ahead, you need jungle help to kill her. But if jungle help comes, she 2v1s because she's stronger then.
Yep.
If she gets behind, you want to try to smash her, but you try to fight while you have your E and you lose. And if your jungler tries to get a lane ahead that's already ahead, you lose. It's she's a rough champ.
There's just characters that... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, it's very fortunate that she's kind of dog shit outside of lane.
Yeah. There's just characters that you have to play into her. Like, I feel like she's one of those characters that can be hard counterpicked. Not in lane. I think she has very few lane counters, because once again, yeah, the lane just plays out. Like, if she hits her E, she wins. If she doesn't, she loses. Mm-hmm. But, like, outside of lane. Like, playing Tahm Kench into her sick, playing Alistar into her sick. Because Tahm Kench, in the start of the fight, you just immediately run at her and start licking her. And as soon as she ults, you just eat her and hold her in your stomach as long as you can. So she doesn't, that's like, use her, like, funny ult stuff, right? That's yeah, super good. And same thing with Alistar. Like, when she starts, as soon as she ults, you boop her out of the fight, and then you Q her, and then you, like, E-stun her. And then you're just, like, your goal when you're playing these characters is just to make sure that she's not slamming tentacles into your entire team.
Yeah. Just don't give her access to her ultimate during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. She's definitely a difficult champion to play against. Not a plant lady, though.
It's funny as can be. I think that's so funny.
Thanks, Dante. Next email's from Alan. Subject, Among Us cast? Dear Among Us boys, I've enjoyed your many community events that have started occurring every single night. I particularly enjoy your Among Us nights due to the fact that it is the name of your podcast. Today I wanted to ask what I should do when I am the last imposter. And there is a fairly large amount of... What?
Amount of people, like, left.
Of people. Okay, yeah. I recently was imposter with Colton, who got voted off fairly early. That's not surprising. I tried to do the best I could, but Fivehead Aiden eventually found me out. I admit that Colton gave me many opportunities to kill, but I do not know if I should play safe and try to find super safe kill or go all out guns blazing. Thanks for your time, Among Us cast. P.S. What's the right way to spell imposter? Is it with an O or with an E? I know the game does the first option, but I wanted to know what you boys had to say. Alan, I feel like it's E.
I've always spelled it with E, I think. I think yeah, it's like, I think O is like the, is O the British spelling? I'm not even sure how it works.
I don't know. I'm going to Google it.
I feel like I've always spelled it with E. Is E wrong, right, though? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Okay, so in Google Docs, I right-clicked, defined it, and impostor is nothing with an O. Wait.
There is like...
Okay, so when I searched imposter with an O, nothing came up. But when I came up with an E, there were both spellings. What the fuck?
So like, it sounds like both are right, just O-R is like the way more common spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's interesting.
I don't know. I know Aiden's super fucking good at sussing out who the who the guys are.
Yeah.
So I'll defer to you.
I think it's hard. Like, especially like it depends on like settings and stuff. But if like the reality is, if someone gets voted, if your poster buddy gets voted immediately, the reality is you kind of can't play it that fast, and they'll probably just win on task if you play it too slow. So it's really like just hoping that they fuck up somewhere and like suss someone else while you get kills. So always just like getting kills and then like being with a group, like trying to get people to like think you're crewmate, like get a kill and then immediately like circle back and like be buddy buddy with someone for like a while is like super sick. But it's sick when you get people to vouch for you when you're imposter.
Yeah.
Game's fun as well.
On Trevor's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pog, thanks, Alan.
Oh.
And I think we're at the last email.
Yeah. So last email is from Y-Dog again. He has our other double roundtable question. He said, since you guys didn't read emails last week, I'm actually here for the first double roundtable answer in recorded history. For this week, as a jungler, the items I'm most excited for are Doran's Forge Heart and Doran's Hail Seed, with Smite items effectively deleted. All my favorite characters will now get to build 5 real items instead of 4, and with all the cool item changes, that has me super excited. Also, the monster burn killing instantly might be my favorite change of the preseason.
It's gonna be so nice.
I feel like I always like never had a problem with like you just sell your jungle item later. Like,
yeah. Once you get far enough into the game, you sell it.
I guess maybe the red one's pretty good because it's still like damage reduction from the person you smite. But I feel like you just don't need those like later in the game.
They're just not as good.
Yeah,
they're good early and kind of bad late.
As good as like the 20% damage reduction is, so the blue one's never good like as a 6th item. But like the red one, like it's still worse than like buying like a Trinity Force or something.
Yeah.
Cool. He said. For episode 234, he said, these are the answers from our roundtable answer on 234. He said, his answer was spending over $50 on mystery champion charts. The Nick's answer was accused the enemy Anivia of hacking because he didn't know why Anivia could weigh more than other champions. And then my answer was, thought Twisted Tree Line was the better game mode. So he one trick Nunu, building Rod of Ages for allies every game. And then Colton was not there for that episode. So it's something related to us being stupid when we first started playing the game. Like
what are the newbiest mistakes you've made?
Yeah.
When you started playing? I just thought about that. I played Anivia on ARM today. Or not today, this week. And I was like, fuck, I remember when I thought Anivia was a fucking hacker character. Because her ulti was up every 6 seconds. That's cheating.
She's still kind of see like a hacker character, especially in like ARAM.
Absolutely.
You just like there becomes a point, and it's not fun for you or their team, or like your team.
It's
or
fun
their
for
team.
The Anivia player, and that's it.
Because there just becomes a point where she just ults the wave every wave, and everyone just kind of stands around.
Yep, it's fun for Anivia, and then no other character in the game.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny, yeah. So let's see. It was. What's your most embarrassing pre-level 30 story?
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry for the best email in Zawardo. Y-Dog the Vi guy. Awesome. I think we nailed it.
Hell
kind
yeah.
of okay?
Yeah.
Sweet. That'll do it for this episode of LeakCast. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to check us out on Twitter, it's @LeakCast and @LeakCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeakCast. Mail @LeakCastPodcast.com is where you can send us emails. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardout are where we stream. Check out our website, LeakCastPodcast.com and LeakCastPodcast.com/Discord to join our Discord server. There's also a little widget to join on our... on our front page of the website. And finally, support us financially, patreon.com/LeakCast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 452. Bye.
Bye.